Let us all pray together. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Mother.
Mother.
Friend.
Friend.
Beloved God.
Beloved God.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Bhagavan Krishna.
Bhagavan Krishna.
Babaji.
Babaji.
Miri Mahashaya.
Miri Mahashaya.
Sri Yukte Suji.
Sri Yukte Suji.
Our Gurudev.
Our Gurudev.
Paramahansa Yogananda.
Paramahansa Yogananda.
Saints of all religions.
Saints of all religions.
We bow to you.
Divine Mother,
bless us ever
the approaching Christmas season.
We may learn to realize
in a greater way
the true meaning of Christmas,
the personal message to each of us
through the life of Jesus Christ.
Help us to remember
his divine example.
Of peace,
of brotherhood,
of compassion and forgiveness,
that we may strive
throughout the new year
and all the years to come
to walk in his divine footsteps,
that we may truly live
that life
exemplified by Christ.
Above all,
may thy love
shine forever
on the altar of our devotion.
May we be able
to awaken thy love
in all hearts.
Make our souls thy temple.
Make our hearts thy altar.
Make our love thy home.
Make our love thy home.
Oh, peace. This piece about Jesus Christ is perhaps one of the most beautiful and inspiring messages ever written about him. I'm sure that many of you have heard it a number of times, but we would do well to read it again and again. It is called One Solitary Life. He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in still another village where he worked in a carpenter shop. For 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or craved a house. He didn't go to college, and he never visited a big city. He did none of these things one usually associates with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. And while he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. And when he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that ever marched, and all the navies that ever sailed the seas, and all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that ever reigned, have not affected the life of man on this earth as much as this one solitary life. When Diana came here to Mount Washington and celebrated her first Christmas meditation, back in 1931. I had a very deep craving to understand what Christ was and to understand why we were sent here into this world and why so many sufferings, why so many tragedies, why such a seeming contradiction in everything that had come into my life up until that age. I used to go to Sunday school, as many of you have done, and listen to the ministers, deeply sincere, very much in earnest, very pious, good men. But I went away feeling very empty. And then, as I have said to you many times before, I met Paramahansa Yogananda. And the impact of his life, the impact of his message, completely transformed my own life. Certainly, everything that he said appealed to my reason, and above all, my heart responded to that great message. And then I came to Mount Washington. It was in November. And during the Christmas holidays, I was with him and a group of devotees as they meditated throughout that entire day. That was my very first experience with meditation, long meditation. I remember when the day ended thinking, here comes this man from the Orient, India, a man who in the eyes of the Western world was a heathen, who in the eyes of the Western world knew nothing of Christ, certainly nothing of the Christian Bible, to the extent the Western ministers did. And yet here was a man who so loved Christ and who so communed with him that he set an example which he predicted one day the entire Western world would follow. Now we come up to the present day, 50 years later, and we find that all over the world, not only in the centers and the temples of self-realization, not only in the Western world, but in India, we find devotees striving to understand the true meaning of Christ and the true meaning of Christianity. It is not the fault of Christianity. It is not the fault of Christ that the world is in the state it is in today. It is because we became so lost in all of the external formalities of religion that we lost sight of that one solitary life and what it means to every one of us individually. It was because we, in our efforts to achieve great material progress and scientific progress, forgot the inner man. We forgot to nourish that which is our eternal self, the soul. And it's simply because of that that this world is in the state it is in today. Before I came down here, I was trying to think, what can I say to these devotees to express something of what Master felt? And I picked up this message from one of the magazines. What is wrong with the world today? And one minister summed it up in this way. The world is suffering from spiritual starvation. And I thought that was a very apt and true point as regards the condition of the world today. We forgot what Christ's life was to mean to each one of us. We forgot what he taught. We rather concentrated more upon the externals of religion, the beautiful choirs, the beautiful buildings, the doing of good works, and they are important. They are part of the example that Christ set. But above and beyond that, the one thing which we needed most to remember was, learn to be still and know that I am God. Know ye not that ye are gods and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? Throughout all of his teaching, he tried to help man to relate directly to the infinite. And that truth meant so much to him that he was prepared to lay down his life for that ideal. How many in this modern world are as prepared to lay down their lives for that great ideal which Christ exemplified in his own life? Let me read something that Master said when he was in India. Beloved devotees and friends of Self-Realization Fellowship, at this holy season of Christmas, my body is far away in India, and therefore I shall celebrate Christmas with you in Christ joy, or Krishna joy as it is called in India, ever omnipresent in your hearts. My Krishna and Christ, ever one in spirit, will be born anew in me, in my new joy on Christmas morn. And what present shall I give you at this time but the most precious gift of all gifts, the united Christ and Krishna joy which I shall receive Christmas morn and send to you through my deep meditations. Delve deep into your inner self and search in the tangled roots of the tree of your own devotion, buried in the soil of meditation, for my hidden gift of all gifts, bound with the golden cords of my ever-burning memory of your love. May each one of you feel that divine Christ consciousness in your own consciousness throughout all the Christmas holidays. Master goes on to say, Christmas is intended as a celebration wherein the devotee may find the Spirit of Christ manifesting in his own consciousness. In this coming Christmas, think first of how you can commune deeply with Christ. The purpose of his birthday is to think deeply upon him whose life mankind has come to revere through all these 20 centuries. Why do we revere him? As this one solitary life said, he had no education. He had no home. He knew what suffering and struggle was. And yet that one life, the shining example of that life, has been like a bright eastern star lighting up the heavens for all of mankind, not merely Christians, those who embrace, what shall I say, the theology of Christianity, but for all of those souls around the world, be they Hindus, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Christians, who are deeply striving to know God. His life is a bright example of that sweet, simple humility which is so much needed in the world today. What appealed to me so much about the teaching of Christ as given by Master was the simple, childlike, honest, and devoted way in which he spoke about Christ, and the way in which he taught us to love Christ. I can remember in those early days feeling that Christ was like a stranger to me and that it was impossible to draw close to him because it was too far above Dhyama to reach. But Master had the unique ability to draw God, to draw Christ to where man could communicate or relate to them. And I think that is the important factor or ingredient that is missing in Christianity today. Not only Christianity, but in all religions. What we have to do today is to establish a sweet and very personal relationship with God. And that can only come by deep and daily communion or meditation. As I have said to you all so many, many times, we devote almost our entire lifetime to the pursuit of food, clothing, and shelter, and perhaps a little bit of happiness. All of those things which relate only to this physical being. Some, if there's sufficient enthusiasm or desire for understanding, will go after book learning, reading many books in order to gain some kind of understanding. But to those who have come to that realization that it is not enough to have physical security, material security, and that books can never satisfy that deep thirst of the soul for truth. To those individuals, self-realization primarily addresses its message. And that message is a message of daily communion with God. So the devotee comes to that state where he realizes he walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me I am his own. Unless and until we have realized that, we do not know what Christianity is all about. The more closely we draw to Jesus Christ, the more we want to not only talk about him, but we want to try to live our lives in such a way that we think at every given moment he is silently observing our lives. He never judges us. He never condemns us. He is the first to say, Father, Father, forgive them. These are thy children. They don't know what they do. But we, feeling, what shall I say, deep feelings of guilt, deep feelings of inadequacy, we turn our hearts and our minds and our inner gaze away from him. We feel uncomfortable in trying to relate to Christ or in trying to relate to God. This is why most of mankind today has gone away from the teaching of Christianity, from the teaching of Hinduism and all of the other great religions. We don't know how to go to God in humility. We don't know how to go to him with a sense of trust as a child would who goes to his mother. In fact, let's face it, the relationship between parents and children is so strained today that a child doesn't talk over its problems anymore with its parents. He thinks that perhaps by drugs or by way out practices, he will be able to relate to mankind as a whole, and above all, be able to find himself. But it is not the way. The only way that man will ever find that which he seeks and that which his soul will never be satisfied without is by daily deep meditation. Be still and know that I am God. To be still, as all of you know who follow this path, means to set aside a time every day without fail for deep inner communion, deep silent conversation with God, practice of the presence of God. And it is only then that we begin to feel that peace which surpasseth all understanding. That is the peace mankind is craving. That peace is going to come, as Master predicted, through a great spiritual surge, a great spiritual power which is now sweeping the world. Side by side with forces of darkness, you find the forces of good, the forces of light. And mankind, you might say, is in the very center. Neither good nor evil, neither Christ nor Satan can influence man. We are endowed with the will, the freedom of choice at any given moment, to go one way or the other. Blessed is that man who uses that freedom of choice, who uses his discrimination to strive always to walk and live and speak and act in attunement with the divine Christ. His message is as important today as at the time of his birth 20 centuries ago. It has often been said that when the world is at its darkest, and when mankind's guiding light has grown dim, the divine takes compassion, takes pity upon his children, and sends a messenger or sends a message which is destined to help mankind get out of the cave of darkness into which it has put itself. Christ's message is that message. But we go beyond that. Christ's message is not the monopoly of one human being. That message is a message which was given several thousands of years before by the Lord Krishna in India. Some of you have asked me to explain the relationship of Christ and of Krishna in this teaching of self-realization. And perhaps this is the proper time to do so. As you all know, Self-Realization Fellowship embraces two Bibles. This is the teaching of Master. Our two Bibles are the Bhagavad Gita, which contains the teaching of the Lord Krishna, and the New Testament, which contains the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord Krishna came in India thousands of years BC. His message was the very same message as the one given by Jesus Christ, because truth is one. It may be interpreted in many ways, it may be called by many names, but there is only one truth, as there is only one God. The message of Krishna was the message of love. I have visited the many places in India where he lived. He was a simple cowherd in Vrindavan. And if you ever go to India, you will be very much uplifted by this wonderful Mecca where thousands of pilgrims go to pay their respects to the Lord Krishna. He was also a prince. But like Jesus Christ, his coming was foreordained, was predicted, and it was also predicted that he would become a great spiritual giant and that he would destroy his enemies. And when the king heard this, it was his wish to get rid of this infant, to destroy it. His father heard of it and fled and gave that little child into the care of a foster mother so that the king could not find that infant and destroy its life. This parallels the life of Jesus Christ, whose parents also fled in order to save that infant's life. As Krishna grew older, he began to preach. His message was a great message of love. Love for God. Love for my fellow men. His love was the highest and purest love. In the same way, many centuries later, Christ came on earth, and his message was also a message of love. There was a great need at that time. The message of Moses was, "What you sow, you shall also reap." An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The law of retribution was his contribution. And those rules by which man ought to live if he would find freedom physically, mentally, and spiritually in this world. Centuries later came Jesus, and his message was one of forgiveness, one of compassion, one of tolerance. One of, if your enemy slaps you on one cheek, my child, turn the other cheek. and forgive 77 times 7. That was a very important message for that age. It was very much needed. And that message swept the world. His message has remained today throughout the Western world as the message of the Lord Krishna has remained to this day with millions of followers all over India. The three great souls or divine beings of Buddhism, Hinduism, and Christianity had specific messages to bring to this world. The message of the Lord Buddha was the message of karma. He is considered the great karma yogi, the great example for all mankind as regards the law of karma. If you've ever studied Buddhism, you know that they refer to the wheel of karma, which means this, that again, what you sow, you are also going to reap. That though you may not remember that you slapped your enemy, say 20 years ago, that you did something wrong, and though you were able to keep that wrong from the world, still that law of karma brings back to you the fruits of the actions which you have sown, whether you remember those actions or not. Do you understand? That's why I believe it is so important to remember the words of Christ, judge ye not others. And do you know why? Because we don't know all the facts behind a reason for which people behave in the way they do. Once we learn not to judge other people, once we learn to overcome this criticism, this hypercriticism of others, and rather turn that spotlight inward upon our own self and our own weaknesses, we will begin to reflect what Christ taught. When we judge people, we only see the external behavior. We know not the reasons for which people behave as they do. It was because of this that Christ said, don't judge others. Rather say inwardly, Lord, forgive him. He doesn't know what he does. What a great science is in those words. Forgive him, Lord. He knows not what he does. Meaning simply this, I am not the judge of my fellow man. Let me try throughout my life to exemplify that forgiveness. As you, God, my beloved, have been forgiving mankind and have been forgiving me throughout many, many lives, the many, many wrong things I have done, which I have long since forgotten. So, my Lord, let me walk in your footsteps. Let me try to forgive my fellow man. And particularly at Christmas time, and let every day be Christmas, let me remove now from my own heart all feelings of hatred, all feelings of ill will. Let me go to those whom I have hurt and to those who have hurt me, and let me put forth my hand in loving friendship as Christ did. This is the way we begin to live the life of Christ. Let me try also to commune with the beloved of my soul, God. Christ said that the greatest message is this, learn to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Now we're told to forget self, and that is indeed true. Forget the ego. Forget this I, that I might understand who am I, that I might begin to understand myself as the soul. So when Christ said, love thy neighbor as thyself, let us remember that he did not mean love thy neighbor as you love this physical form, in which you dwell. Love thy neighbor as you love that indwelling spirit within you. That is what is meant. And many centuries before that, and we have it written in our chapel, the words of the Lord Krishna, which again are so beautiful. He who watcheth me always, him do I watch. He never loses sight of me, I never lose sight of him. The divine beloved is saying, whoever watches me always, that child I am always watching. That child of mine never loses sight of me, and I never lose sight of that child. Did not Christ say, sparrows are sold for 2 farthings, and yet not one of them falls without the sight of my Father? The very same teaching is there in his words. These truths man has heard down through the centuries, and every now and then in the multitudes there is one soul who has received that divine message, and that one soul has become like a moon reflecting down through the ends of time the divine light of the sun. Guruji often used to say, always remember this, one moon gives more light than all the stars in the heavens. One mooned soul who loves God deeply and strives to walk in the footsteps of the great ones, such as Jesus Christ and the Lord Krishna, gives more light than the thousands of ministers and priests who simply speak on the externals of religion from the pulpits. Master was simple and childlike in his approach to God. That appealed to my heart very much. That is what drew me to this teaching of self-realization. It appealed to me that when he came before the multitudes and he was used to speaking to thousands, he forgot that he was speaking. He talked to souls as one of them. He merely wanted to commune with them and to communicate to them what he was perceiving in his own consciousness. That is the ideal of self-realization. That's why all of these monks who are being trained, they are trained first and foremost in the ideals of the spiritual life. That was the ideal of Master. I can remember in those early days, we expected that he would have a solution for everything. Just as he healed this body many years ago, merely by a touch, I expected that every time I came near him, he would touch me and I would suddenly be illuminated. But that wasn't so. There were many, many years of hard discipline, self-discipline, we will call it. Not only self-discipline, but many, many years of deep soul-searching, longing for God. You know why we suffer in this world? It is not the divine punishing us. It is the divine saying, you are wandering away, my child, you are wandering away. Come back. If you could just begin to develop that kind of sweet relationship with the Divine Mother, that every time you are hurt in this world, every time you are disappointed in this world, every time you find some frustration in your life, if you could just remember, it is her love that makes her want to protect us from forgetfulness of her. Because in forgetfulness of God lies all the suffering and all the torment, physical, mental, and spiritual, which man can undergo. It is because mankind has forgotten God that this world is in the state it is in today and will go on in this state until it has received so many slaps that the world will begin to turn back. Well, I find that what I have sought in this world is not there. I reach up for a cloud, and as I reach it, I find that I have nothing in my hand. That's what this life is like. Happiness is ever elusive. But when we have true happiness here in our hearts, no amount of difficulty in the world can affect us. When we have love in our hearts, no amount of ill feeling of the world can affect us. In our relationship with our children, in our relationship with our husbands and wives, with others, we are constantly demanding of one another. And we think that if we go on giving material things, this is enough. It will never be enough, my children. Never. It will only create a deeper, deeper hunger within our own self. The purpose of Christmas is not merely to light a candle or decorate a tree and exchange gifts. This is wonderful. And it is proper. It's a spirit of goodwill and friendship and love. But when we do these things, forgetting the basic principle, it is not enough. Christmas is empty. We're tired from the beginning. By the time Christmas is over, we say, I'm so glad it's over with. The real purpose of observing the birthdays of great ones all over the world, as the birthday of the Lord Buddha and the Lord Krishna and the Lord Jesus, is to begin to think more deeply about God. My life is going by, my Lord. The days are going by. My years are flying by. And unfortunately, as we get older, they go faster, it seems. At least I find it so. And yet, I do not find you in my heart. Let me make that effort now. Let me begin to know you. Let me begin to relate to you. Let me begin to find that peace and that joy and that love that my soul has been craving, that my heart has hungered for. I have been like a beggar in this world, begging from human hearts. Let me no more be a beggar. Let me go within. Let me commune with you, my beloved, who are the fountain of all joys, the fountain of all life, the fountain of all peace and all love. And let me then reflect your light divine. Let me try, as I pass through this world, to be a peacemaker. We all want to be peacemakers everywhere except in our own family unit. Do you realize that? So many people, they're so busy out striving to be peacemakers in the world, and they haven't even achieved peace within their own family unit. This isn't right. Start at home. There is a saying that some people are what we call street angels and house devils. That was an expression I learned years ago from Master. No, one must begin by being an angel in his own home, among the people whom God has drawn to him, attracted to him. Every one of us, we are in a particular environment we are in at this given moment because it was necessary for our own spiritual growth. And to run away from it is not necessarily the right step to take. To strive to be an instrument of peace, not preaching it, but living it, an instrument of kindness and thoughtfulness and love in our family unit, and to try to live by those ideals which Christ taught, is the right way to bring back the Spirit of Christ into this world. Look at the mess the world is in today. Spiritually, it is starving. Materially, there is much, but there's an imbalance. Some have much and some have none. Mentally, there is confusion, there is doubt, there is fear. It almost seems as though mankind is at last bankrupt in every way. But we have within our hands the power to change this state of things. We have within us the power to start where we must begin, with ourselves first, by daily deep meditation. If each one of you, when you go home tonight, don't talk about it to anyone. You who are heavy-hearted, you who are filled with cheer, joy, peace of mind, you also pray for others. But go into a little place where you can be alone and sit quietly and deeply talk to God in the language of your soul. You will definitely find His response. It cannot be otherwise. He does respond. And the more you talk with Him, not in stilted prayers, not merely mouthing it like a parrot, but the more you begin to really personally relate to Him, inwardly, in the most unexpected ways, you will begin to feel His response within. You will indeed be able to say, "My Lord, He walks with me, He talks with me, He tells me I am His own." For that is the promise of Christ. That is the universal message of Christianity. That is the universal message of the Lord Krishna. That message that we too can know God and can converse with Him and can feel His love in our lives. Let us all meditate a few moments. Forget everyone around you and deeply call on Christ in the depths of your soul. Converse with Him in the language of your heart and try to feel His loving presence as you meditate. Let us all pray together. Heavenly Father, Mother, Friend, my beloved God, Jesus Christ, Bhagavan Krishna, Babaji, Leary Mahashaya, Sri Yukteswarji, my beloved Guru, Paramahansaji, saints of all religions, I bow to you all. Divine Mother, bless me that the spotlight of my mind ever keep turning toward Thee, that no matter where I go, and no matter what I do, my mind may be firmly fixed upon Thee as my guiding light, as the pole star of my life. Bless me that through my life's example, not through my words, but through my deeds, I may strive to reach those around me, giving them love, understanding, confidence, encouragement, and faith. Help me that through that example, I may feel Thy presence within and serve all those whom You have sent to me. May Thy love shine forever on the sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken Thy love in all hearts. Awaken within me. Thank you. that divine consciousness, wherein I may realize that I am thy child, not your good. I am thy child. Thou art my father. Thou art my mother. Thou art my friend. Thou art my beloved. I am thine. Through all the many chains of incarnations, it is you alone who come into this world with me. It is you who silently stand by my side throughout all life's joys and trials. And it is you again who usher me into the world beyond. Bless me, my beloved, that I may realize that from joy I have come. In that joy I move and have my being. In that joy I shall melt once again. And thou art that joy. Thou art that love. Thou art that wisdom. Thou art mine. May God and Guru bless you all. And may you truly feel the Spirit of Christ during the Christmas holidays and throughout all of the new year. God love you all.